We're at chapter, in our book, we've been studying for the benefit of Jacob and Heather. This is a class, not a worship service. We've been studying Bunyan's great, great work, The Holy War, now for, I don't know, how long, a couple of years, something, I don't know. The particular, it's available readily on the internet, anywhere, reprints, etc. But we have chosen as a congregation, we have all different books printed by different printers, but it is specifically, it's that version of The Holy War that was put together and with annotations, notes in it from Reverend Robert McGuire. Robert McGuire was a Church of England rector. He was born in Dublin, Ireland in 1826, died in 1890. So 1826 to 1890 was the years he lived. That's the person whose notes we're reading in this present volume that we have. And we have enjoyed the study very much. And, these are available online pretty freely. But as I say, there were different publishers, so there are different ones out there. But McGuire's notes, if you have any version that has McGuire's notes in it, those are the ones we're using. We're picking up today, and again, not all versions of The Holy War have the chapter divisions in the same place. This one, the chapter division in McGuire's works is in this edition, we're starting on chapter 15 today. And you'll know where we are. The man's soul is in desperation. They have sinned and grieved. Emmanuel has left the city. And they have been assaulted by the Diabolians. And they are holed up, as it were, in the castle, which is Bunyan's picture of the heart. And that's where they are now. And Diabolus has cunningly and craftily planned assaults against them. And they have been unsuccessful so far. They're still held up in the castle, which is Bunyan's, as I say, is Bunyan's picture of the heart. We take up the reading today, Bunyan says, but to return to our story again. When Diabolus saw himself thus boldly confronted by the Lord Mayor and perceived the stoutness of Mr. Godly Fear, he fell into a rage and forthwith called a council of war that he might be revenged on Mansoul. So all the princes of the pit, came together, and old Incredulity at the head of them, with all the captains of his army. So they consulted what to do. You remember in the close of the last chapter, Satan, Diabolus had come up to the castle gates. He had demanded entry. He was bringing hardship, as much resistance as he could against them. And they have so far held him off. They've held him off. And who was the key character in holding him off? The keeper of the gate, Mr. Godly Fear. And we talked about the importance of godly fear in the life of a saint. Then he says, now the effect and conclusion of the council that day was how they might take the castle, because they could not conclude themselves masters of the town so long as that was in the possession of their enemies. Satan knows that in order to own the town, he's going to have to take the heart, the castle. And so this is what he's up against. This is what he's trying to do. McGuire's note says, the understanding had already, on behalf of the soul, given back its answer to the demands of Diabolus. And now, once more, hell and the grave take counsel together against the striving, struggling, doubting, but still resisting soul. Oh, these awful counsels of the pit. These assemblies of the enemies of God and man, when all the varied attributes of the wicked one meet in conclave and unite their strength. Every soul that fights and resists is the object of the wrath and rage and cunning device of Satan. How largely we need the communion of saints. And most of all, the communion of the Spirit to enable us to withstand the communion of the devils leagued against the soul. And there is a great emphasis there. Now, those, are, of course, are McGuire's words, not Bunyan's. But they're wise counsel here. How desperately we need the communion of saints. Saints of like mind. We were talking about some things at the table. The men were talking about some different things. We need the communion of saints that are like-minded, saints that will build us up, saints that will not tear us down. And there are saints that will tear us down, not because they mean to be tearing us down, but they don't. There's not a communion. There's not the same communion with them. And that's harmful to us. And McGuire makes this comment, oh, how largely we need the communion of saints to enable us to withstand the communion of the devils that are against us. And we draw strength from that. Bunyan takes up and says, so one advised this way and another advised that way, that, but when they could not agree in their verdict, Apollyon, that president of the council, stood up, and thus he began, quote, my brotherhood, quoth he, I have two things to propound unto you, and my first is this. Let us withdraw ourselves from the town into the plain, for our presence here will do us no good, because the castle is yet in our enemy's hands. Nor is it possible that we should take that so long as so many brave captains are in it, and that this bold fellow, Godly Fear, is made the keeper of the gates. Now, when we have withdrawn ourselves into the plain, they, of their own accord, will be glad of some little ease. And it may be, of their own accord, they again may begin to be remiss, and even their so being will give them a bigger blow than we can possibly give them ourselves. Now, here is a vicious, vile strategy. Satan says, let's back off. Back up. Let's move back away from the castle, go out into the plain, and give them a break. And they'll be so glad for the break. The warfare is not so intense, and they'll relax. And Bunyan very wisely puts these words in the mouth of Apollyon. Apollyon says, and they're relaxing will do us more good than anything we could do to them. It's when we become relaxed in the spiritual warfare, when we become casual in it, we're in grave danger at that point. Now, when we have withdrawn ourselves into the plain, they of their own accord will be glad of some little ease, and it may be, of their own accord, they again may begin to be remiss. Then he says, but if that fail, our going forth of the town may draw the captains out after us. And you know what it cost them when we fought them in the field before. You remember those scenes. They were hurt badly when they got outside the city walls and went after him. Besides, can we but draw them out into the field, we may lay an ambush behind the town, which shall, when they are come forth abroad, rush in and take possession of the castle. Now again, McGuire, in a note, says this: "In this hellish council, Apollyon, the great destroyer, speaks. Satan is now represented as dealing with the soul that is hard pressed by the assault of sin, and is at the same time conscious of its danger and aware of the consequences of yielding to the demands of hell. And one of the devices of the evil one is to abate the heavy pressure for a season, if haply the soul may again abate its spirit of watchfulness. There are times when the very force of sin and temptation drives the soul more closely to Christ, as when the affrighted sheep has found in the shepherd a refuge from the devouring wolf and cleaves the closer for the pressing danger. When this is so, the policy of Satan is to lighten the pressure and mitigate the force of the temptation so as once more to allure the soul into lack of vigilance." Now, haven't we all experienced that? When Satan is pressing you sore, if you're a real saint, it presses you to the Lord. But if he lifts, takes off the pressure, we tend to become careless and thoughtless and fail. Bunyan says, "But Beelzebub stood up and replied, saying, 'It is impossible to draw them off from the castle. Some, you may be sure, will lie there to keep that. Wherefore it will be but in vain thus to attempt unless we were sure that they will all come out.' He therefore concluded that what was done must be done by some other means. And the most likely means gave the greatest of their heads, the most likely means that the greatest of their heads could invent was that which Apollyon had advised before, namely, to get the townsmen again to sin." Wow. Hey, even the devil knows this. Even the devil knows this. Sad that too many Christians don't know it. Even the devil knows this, that the best way to get the victory over man is to entice him to sin. "For," said he, "it is not our being in the town, nor in the field, nor our fighting, nor our killing of their men, that can make us the masters of man's soul. For so long as one is in the town is able to lift up his finger against us, Emmanuel will take their parts. And if he shall take their parts, we know what time of day it will be with us. Wherefore, for my part," quoth he, "there is, in my judgment, no way to bring them into bondage to us like inventing a way to make them sin." Boy, how well we know that. How well we all know that. There's no better way for Satan to have his way and get the victory over us than to figure out some way just to make us sin. "Had we," said he, "left all our doubters at home, we had done as well as we have done now, unless we could have made them masters and governors of the castle. For doubters at a distance are but like objections refailed with arguments. Indeed, can we but get them into the hold and make them possessors of that, the day will be our own. Let us therefore withdraw ourselves into the plain, not accepting that the captains and Mansoul should follow us, but yet, I say, let us do this. And before we so do, let us advise again our trusty diabolians that are yet in their holes of man's soul, and set them to work to betray the town to us, for they indeed must do it, or it will be left undone forever. So the decision is put forward. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We need to back off, give them some ease, and set those diabolians who are still in the city to work on helping us devise ways to make man sin. By these sayings, Beelzebub, for I think it was he that gave this counsel, the whole conclave was forced to be of his opinion, namely, that the way to get the castle was to get the town to sin. And then they fell to inventing by what means they might do this thing. McGuire's note says, the counsel of Beelzebub is superadded to that of the great Apollyon, and it is a crafty and a wily counsel to invent a way to make them sin. Satan knows full well how great an ally he finds in the sin that is done by man. Sin weakens and degrades every power and principle in the soul. Sin weakens and degrades every power and principle in the soul. It commits the man to the ways of evil, engages him in the service of the evil one, and ere long binds him captive beneath the hand of the destroyer. Purity and holiness are strength of the soul, but sin is its weakness. There is no standing fast, no militant spirit as the good soldier of Jesus Christ where sin is. Sin enervates the soul, prostrates its strength, relaxes its vigor, and casts it down in the helplessness of its weakness and in the hopelessness of its despair. Sin. Sin. Nothing but sin can do that. Mason had this simple note. A delight in sin will prove a dreadful evil to a believer and cause the Holy Spirit to depart. On the contrary, a hatred thereof, even in thought, denominates you as a child of God. It's this struggle with sin, isn't it, that characterizes the whole life of a believer. Struggle with sin. Remember, Paul said, that I would, I do not. That I would not, that I do. Right to the end, and even in a great apostle, it's this struggle with sin. It's always there. Bunyan goes on and says, then Lucifer stood up. Lucifer stood up. McGuire says, the fallen son of the morning has also somewhat of advice to offer. We've heard from Diabolus, we've heard from Apollyon, and now we hear from Lucifer. All different names, of course, for the devil. The inner counseling mind of Satan is resolved upon the expedient of withdrawing his present force from the soul, but what further measures to adopt he has not yet decided on. The soul is just now in that state that Satan's efforts are calculated rather to alarm than to attract it. The soul is under an awakening, and by reason of the very pressure of the heavy hand that's upon it. So then Bunyan says, Lucifer stood up and said, the counsel of Beelzebub is pertinent. Now the way to bring this to pass is, in my opinion, is this. Let us withdraw our force from the town of Mansoul. Let us do this, and let us terrify them no more, either with summons or threat or with the noise of our drum or any other awakening means. Only let us lie in the field at a distance, and be as if we regarded them not. For frights, I see, do not awaken them, and make them more stand their arms. By frightening the soul, Satan only drives a true believer to the Lord. And so he decides on a different, what is called another strategy. Another stratagem. McGuire says, the soul, if relieved of its present anxiety and alarm, must be engaged and occupied somehow. And this calls forth a new device of Satan. One, however, that he had already tried, and by which he had ere this caused man's soul to suffer long and deeply. Worldly business, earthly cumber, preoccupation of the heart and soul with the things that are of the earth, earthly. These are the main features of this new stratagem. A full market, which we haven't read it yet, but we're going to read it in the very next sentence. But McGuire says, a full market, a busy time, great gain, sudden wealth, fullness of bread, worldly love, these are the things that betray the soul and bring it into bondage. So said the church of Laodicea. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So said the rich man in the parable, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. This is one of the contingencies of earthly circumstances that man does well to pray against. Proverbs 30 and verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? So Satan, Lucifer, has a new strategy. Here it is. We pick up the reading. I have another stratagem in my head. You know man's soul is a market town, and a town that delights in commerce. What, therefore, if some of our diabolians shall feign themselves for a countryman, and shall go out and bring to the market of man's soul their wares, though it be but for half the worth? Now let those that thus shall trade in their market be those that are witty and true to us, and I will lay my crown to pawn. It will do. It will do. It absolutely will do. What will do? This new strategy. What is the new strategy? Back off, quit harassing, and give them abundance. I'm afraid that's where we find ourselves in the modern American church, for the most part. We aren't under persecution. Nobody's going to throw us in jail for reading the Bible. We can have prayer in our home. Nobody's going to raid it and lock us all up. He's backed off into the field. But he's brought this new strategy. Abundance. Great wealth. Provision. And now, this strategy leaves us distracted because we have what McGuire calls a full market. Boy, I think that's a good description, isn't it? Most of our lives, full market. Market day. We got a big market. There are two that are come to my thoughts, Bunyan says already, that I think will be arch in this work. They are Mr. Pennywise Pound Foolish and Mr. Get Out of the Hundred and Lose Out of the Shire. Nor is this man with the long name at all inferior to the other. What also, if you join with me, with them, Mr. Sweet World and Mr. Present Good. They are men that are civil and cunning, but are true friends and helpers. Let these, with as many more, engage in this business for us, and let man's soul be taken up in much business. Let them grow full and rich. And this is the way to get ground of them. Remember ye not, that thus we prevail with Laodicea. And how many at present do we hold in this snare? Now, when they begin to grow full, they will forget their misery. And if we shall not affright them, they may happen to fall asleep, and so be got to neglect their own town watch, their castle watch, as well as their watch at the gates. Wow. That is a very effectual strategy. I know, because I have fallen prey to it myself. And he wants to enlist two interesting fellows. We'll read about them later. Mr. Pennywise and Pound Foolish. I like that name. But I like this one, Mr. Get Eye the Hundred and Lose Eye the Shire. Then we're going to also employ Mr. Sweet World and Mr. Present Good. These are all diabolians. These are diabolians who are set on destroying this town, man's soul. Yea, Bunyan says, yea, may we not by this means so cumber man's soul with abundance that they shall be forced to make of their castle a warehouse instead of a garrison fortified against us and a receptacle for men of war. A warehouse instead of a garrison. My goodness. Thus, if we get our goods and commodities thither, I reckon that the castle is more than half ours. Besides, could we so order it that it shall be filled with such kinds of wares, then if we made a sudden assault upon them, it would be hard for the captains to take shelter there. Why would that be hard? Because the castle is full of goods. It's full of stuff. And so there's no room. But you know not, do you know not, that of the parable, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And again, when the heart is overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, all mischief comes upon them at unawares. When? When they're full of the world. Furthermore, my lords, quoth he, you very well know that it is not easy for a people to be filled with our things and not have some of our diabolians as retainers to their houses and services. Ouch. Boy, that cuts close, doesn't it? It's not possible for a Christian to fill their hearts with the things of the world without the next thing you know, they're employing the world to help them with all that stuff. Very wise, Mr. Bunyan. Where is a Mansoulian, he says, where is a Mansoulian that is full of this world, that has not for his servants and waiting men Mr. Profuse or Mr. Prodigality or some other of our diabolian gang Mr. Voluptuous, Mr. Pragmatical, Mr. Ostentation, or the like. Now these can take the castle of man's soul, or blow it up, or make it unfit for garrison for Emmanuel, or any of these will do. Yea, these, for aught I know, may do it for us sooner than an army of 20,000 men. Wherefore, to end as I began, my advice is that we quietly withdraw ourselves, not offering any further force or forcible attempts upon the castle, at least at this time, and let us set on foot our new project, and let us see if that will not make them destroy themselves. McGuire said, "This is a weighty sentiment, well expressed and suggestive of many pertinent thoughts. The heart of the renewed man is designed to be an engarrisoned place, holding within its strong spiritual defenses all the full treasure of the heart, which must not be surrendered save to the risk of all. Now, if this strong place, filled with earthly treasures and with carnal things and with perishable elements, and if from these the carnal desires are fed and nourished and supplied, then indeed, has the man forsaken and forgotten his true position and his proper duty, and thus forfeited the heavenly and abiding treasure, the true riches of the kingdom." All Satan has to do is get our hearts filled with the world. The world, the things of it, the things in it, especially things. Things in our hearts. Birder made this comment. I remember I said I'd tell you about Mr. Pennywise and Pound Foolish. "These are proverbial expressions," he says, "denoting the folly of those who are anxious to obtain small gains while they neglect large profits. Satan, having found that his doubts and fears did not succeed, but had rather kept men alert, now proposes to try the effect of worldly prosperity as likely to produce carelessness. And indeed, great is the danger when the castle, which should be the temple of the Lord, is turned into a warehouse." Castle, which should be the temple of the Lord, is turned into a White House, a warehouse. Chaplin, in his book, where he pulls together some of the writings of Bunyan, which are not in his other books necessarily. Chaplin has a little paragraph too about what he calls constitutional sins. "We all have that sin which doth so easily beset us." Constitutional sins. They form a part of our constitution. Bunyan had this to say in another place. "They that name the name of Christ, let them depart from their constitutional sin, or if you will, the sin that their temper most inclines them to." And I think for most of us as Americans, surely, one of our constitutional sins is our love of prosperity. Bunyan says, every man is not alike inclined to the same sin, but some to one and some to another. Now let the man that professes the name of Christ religiously consider with himself, unto what sin or vanity am I most inclined? Is it pride? Is it covetousness? Is it fleshly lust? And let him labor by all means to leave off and depart from that. This is that which David called his own iniquity and saith, I was also upright before him and kept myself from mine iniquity. Psalms 18:23. Rightly are these two put together. For it is not possible that he should be an upright man that indulgeth his constitution sin. But on the contrary, he that keeps himself from that will be upright as to all the rest. And the reason is, because if a man has grace to trample upon and mortify his darling, his bosom, his greatest sin, he will more easily and more heartily abhor and fly from the rest. And indeed, if a man will depart from iniquity, he must depart from his darling sin first. Can I read that again? If a man will depart from iniquity, he must depart from his darling sin first. Remember the man that came to the Lord? The Lord said, you must do this, you must not do this, you must not. And he said, I've kept all that from my youth. And then he touched his darling sin. He said, then sell all you have, give the poor, come follow me. Went away grieved. He couldn't part that darling sin, that one sin. Do you know what yours is? I hope you do. I hope you put your hand to it. Bunyan said, and indeed, if a man will depart from iniquity, he must depart from his darling sin first. For as long as that is entertained, the other, at least those that are most suiting to that darling, will always be haunting him. Always be haunting him. There is a man that has such and such haunt his house and spend his substance and would be rid of them, but cannot. But now let him rid himself of that for the sake of which they haunt his house, and then he shall with ease be rid of all the rest of them. Thus it is with sin. There is a man that is plagued with many sins, perhaps because he embraceth one. Well, let him turn that one out of doors. That's the way to be rid of the rest. Keep thee from thy darling sin, thy bosom sin, thy constitution sin. Among the motives to prevail with thee to fall in with this exhortation. In other words, here's Bunyan's motives for why you should do this. There can be no great change appear in thee. There can be no great change appear in thee. Make what profession of Christ thou wilt, unless thou cast away thy bosom sin. Doesn't matter about all this other stuff. Doesn't matter what you can brag about, what a great Christian. I mean, it won't do it mean nothing until you have dealt with this specific sin. And then secondly, he says, so long as thy constitution sin remains as winked at by thee, so long thou art a hypocrite before God. Let thy profession be what it will. When conscience shall awake and be commanded to speak to thee plainly what thou art, it will tell thee so to no little vexation and perplexity. As long as you hold on to this sin, he says, you will be a hypocrite before God. I don't care what men think about you. good advice from Bunyan. So there is the problem with this sin. Of course, Bunyan is dealing with all of it, but I chose to pick out that writing from Chaplin's compilation to say to us that if we could just deal with that darling sin, if we could just get that one constitutional sin, if we could, as he says, put him out, the rest would be no problem to deal with. So Satan's strategy in today's reading is back off. Let's bring in some wonderful wares from outside. Let's bring in some wonderful prosperity. And the heart will grow careless, reckless, unaware, not watching. And the next thing you know, we'll have it. We'll have the town. Great wisdom, Mr. Bunyan. Great wisdom indeed. Sounds like a man who's speaking from experience. We'll stop there today. Any further questions, or any of you brethren would like to comment, or ladies, comment on the reading today.